We'll turn to Philemon, Paul's epistle to Philemon. This afternoon we'll go back to studying foundational doctrine. We're studying the preservation of the saints. I think we're already on part six, believe it or not. There'll be a couple more parts before we move on. I'll also remind you to pray for next Sunday. We'll have Reverend James Hamilton here from England. And that'll be a blessing, and we hope to bless him as well. But for today, we're in Philemon. And the very text that I want to look at is this. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Now this truly is an epistle to Philemon. It's a letter to Philemon. It's addressed, and others, I should say, and others are greeted as well. But the body of the letter is sent and addressed to Philemon. There's an issue that Paul is dealing with. And yet it's an issue that the Lord would have us look at and learn from. This has been preserved as God's own revealed word, and it's here for our admonition and for our sanctification and for our edification and for our exhortation. We have, he writes, great joy and consolation in thy love, thy, speaking of Philemon, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Now, bowels, there's different meanings for it. The insides of a person, the physical insides, and that's actually used once in the New Testament that way. But otherwise, in the New Testament, this is used in a figurative sense. And it speaks of the inner man, especially the heart, the inner man, of course, the seat of affection and mercy and pity and that sort of thing. Now, Paul's addressing Philemon. The main topic of this epistle is Onesimus. He's a servant of Philemon's who ran away. He ran away to Rome, perhaps after stealing from Philemon. And then in Rome, Onesimus was converted to Christ through, I believe it's pretty evident, Paul's preaching, and he became zealous for gospel ministry. Well, then Paul, once he found out that he was a runaway, so to speak, and had no doubt pilfered some things not belonging to him, Paul sent him back to Philemon. But he also sends a request that Philemon would forgive Onesimus and receive him as a brother then. At the same time, Paul also offers to restore on behalf of Onesimus whatever he owes his master. And then lastly, it's clear that the apostle is prompting Philemon to give Onesimus his freedom. This Philemon was a wonderful and godly man, and in such cases, it's not necessary to do more than prompt, make the suggestion, and it will be done with a man like this. So he just prompts him. It's very obvious this is what he's doing, to give Onesimus his freedom, because it's the right and the Christian thing to do, and also so that This Onesimus might be free to serve the Lord in gospel ministry. And the scriptural record shows that's exactly what happened. Now, there's so much we could speak about with regard to this epistle and this situation with Onesimus. We could talk about the grace and mercy and providence and power of God in saving sinners. This Onesimus ran away from a master who was a godly Christian man. And he ran right into the preaching of the Apostle Paul. And so we could talk about the providence of God, the power of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God to those he saves. And we could also talk about how this speaks in a figurative sense, in one regard of substitution and imputation. Consider verse 18 and verse 19. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Jesus Christ had put on his account what we owed. He made satisfaction for our debt to the law. He propitiated the wrath of God against us. And he certainly owed us nothing. Quite the contrary, we owed him everything. And we certainly were in debt to the law. But I want to speak of something else this morning. I want to speak of this man, Philemon, this morning, this very man. And I want to speak specifically on what Paul wrote to him, saying, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." Let's read a little bit of the context. We've read the entire epistle earlier. Let's read a little bit of the context here. Let's find out what sort of a man this was who so refreshed the saints. And in the doing, we can look at ourselves and we can make some judgments. "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The church in thy house. This was not one of these home churching situations. There was a minister present. It was a church that met in a house. Probably under the threat of, the threat of loss of liberty and property and life. And we see here Philemon called our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Some think Philemon was a minister. I'm not so sure. But he certainly was a fellow laborer in the gospel. He certainly had a concern for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He certainly was a great encouragement to Paul and the other ministers. We often see ministers called fellow laborers. We see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, Timotheus addressed as our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. And then we see Paul also greet our beloved, he says, Apphia. There's a very good possibility, listing her right after Philemon, that this could be his wife, couldn't it? Listing her there and before Archippus, our fellow, he says, soldier. And so this could be his wife, Philemon's wife. And then Archippus, the fellow soldier, we know was a minister of God because we see it right here in Colossians 4, verse 17. "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Now, we've already had mentioned fellow soldiers and fellow laborers. Certainly ministers need to be laborers. They need to labor diligently in the word and in doctrine. Certainly they need to be soldiers. They need to defend the flock which Christ hath purchased with his own blood. And they need to fight against all the enemies of the gospel and the church that are raised up within and without the church. And some are just crept into the church. They have to be diligent to stand against those sort of enemies. "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." What a wonderful, wonderful man this Philemon was. What an encouragement to this Paul, who was a laborer and who was a soldier. He was a hard worker. He labored in word and deed and to take care of the flock. He was a soldier. And soldiers, by the nature of what they do, are not always well-liked. You look at any faithful soldier that's been in combat. He may have some rough edges to him according to some of the people that know him, but maybe they're not really rough edges. Maybe it's just the nature of the man that he has to be strong, and it doesn't come across as being gentle as the world defines gentle sometimes. But Paul says, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." Now, the scriptural witness testifies that it's not just ministers that are to refresh the saints. Certainly, we are to refresh the saints, no doubt. But there's even more of a witness the other direction in many ways as you look through the scriptures. And, of course, those ministers who refresh the saints are greatly commended for doing so. But those people who refresh not only the saints but their ministers are also greatly commended. I'm talking about a scriptural witness that the people of God have a duty. They are urged to have a great concern for their ministers and to desire to refresh both them and the saints. This isn't a one-way proposition, not at all. Too often today, it's always a one-way proposition. Well, come on, minister. Come on, pastor. Come on, preacher. Do something for me. Now, Paul many times commends those in the scriptures who refresh God's ministers, too. 2 Timothy. Go backwards in the New Testament from where you are to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I read with very little comment. I'm just saying that the scriptures commend those who refresh God's ministers. Would that be surprising to you when you realize how important it is that the church have ministers that are strong, that are diligent, that are even aggressive, if you will, in the cause of Christ? And so they come under all sorts of attacks, both spiritual attacks, and it's always spiritual, really, but I'm saying from people and from the devil himself. Paul writes to Timothy, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he hath refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." So it wasn't just that this godly man heard that that minister was in jail, in prison, and he sought him out to help him then. It says right here, "The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." Then we have, you can go back to Philemon, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 13. "Therefore we are comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus," another minister of God, "because his spirit was refreshed by you all," you there in Corinth. And then 1 Corinthians 16, verse 18, he says, "For they have," and I'm not giving you all the context of each of these things, I'm just pointing out that God's ministers are refreshed by God's people, or should be. And those that refresh them are commended. "For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." He's saying, acknowledge these that are the refreshers of God's ministers, rather than weakening them. Romans 15, verse 32, "That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed," ministers and people alike being refreshed by each other. And you see in Philemon right here in verse 20, he says, "Yea, brother, let me have the joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Refresh my inner man. Refresh my heart in the Lord." Now, the people of God should take special care. I don't care if it sounds self-serving. I don't care. I'm just preaching what's in the Word of God, and I have to preach it. I have to be concerned with the church of God and all aspects of the church. Whatever makes her strong, I need to be in favor of. Whatever makes her weak, I need to be opposed to. And the people of God should take special care to refresh those who labor in the Word and doctrine, even as they man the front line of defense against those things which the devil raises up against sound doctrine, against the sanctity of the church, against the very name of our Lord Jesus Christ. "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love," he writes, "because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." Now, what is this to refresh the saints? What is this? And secondly, why should we be concerned over such a thing? Is this just an act of pity? Is this just some sort of charitable act that we're talking about? Not at all. And that goes to the second question, and why should we be concerned over such a thing? And then lastly, would Paul say of us, and in fact, can your minister say of you, "We have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee"? Paul, speaking on behalf of the other ministers of God, his fellow laborers, says to Philemon this, "We have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee." Would Paul say that of you? Would he say that of you today? Can your minister say that of you today? You'll have to answer that question yourself. And perhaps when we're done, you'll be able to answer it better. And I'm not trying to make anyone sorrowful, just as Paul says. I'm just trying to edify all of us and encourage all of us and strengthen the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm simply trying to be faithful to the charge the Lord has given me. Now, before we answer the first two questions more specifically, I say you'll have to answer the last one yourself. We should consider what sort of man, what sort of woman it is that has a concern and a desire to refresh the saints. Some aren't even interested in this, but we ought to be interested. The Lord has put this here for a reason. Many good reasons. Now, I will say this in advance before I answer that question, at least somewhat. I'll say this in advance of this one thing about refreshing the saints. It is not at all restricted to spiritual refreshment, but it always refreshes the spiritual man. Not the carnal man, but the spiritual man. And it always strengthens Christ's church for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. This is what the refreshing of the saints does. I'm going to repeat it again. We have to get these truths. What we're talking about is not at all restricted to spiritual refreshment. But it is. It's always spiritual in nature, and it always refreshes the spiritual man, not the carnal man, and it always strengthens Christ's church for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. So what does the context of our text today tell us about this Philemon, whom Paul so highly commends for refreshing the very hearts of the saints? Well, let's look at 4 through 6 again. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. He says thee. He's talking now again in a singular sense of Philemon. It's not that he doesn't make mention of the others, but now he's talking specifically about Philemon. And he says, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, speaking of this one, this Philemon, who is under his care and his charge, says this concerning him, concerning Philemon. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Ministers certainly have those in their flock always, almost without exception, for whom they wrestle in prayer. I mean, they wrestle in prayer. They wonder, where are these people? Why all this inconsistency? Why all this coldness, this childishness, this foolishness? Why isn't there a forward movement, you might say, in the faith? We all fall short of what we should be, but what is the matter with this person? What is the matter with this person? So it's a blessing then to remember one such as Philemon in prayer. It is a blessing to thank the Lord for him or her and bless the Lord for this person. And of course, to pray that this person will remain strong because he will be a target of the devil himself. Now, any minister would thank God from the bottom of his heart and does thank God from the bottom of his heart for men and women like Philemon. I mean, especially in this self-centered day and this age when the love of many, so many, has waxed so cold. And when so many are so far from refreshing the hearts of God's ministers, and of course their fellow saints as well, they actually discourage the Lord's people. And they weaken the hands of those who stand in the gap for the Lord and for his church. And actually for them then. And they don't refresh their minister or the ministers of God. They weaken them, the very men who are standing in the gap for them and their family, first for the Lord, but yes, for the whole ransomed church of God. They don't refresh them. So any minister thanks God, as Paul did, and prays for someone like Philemon. Any minister thanks the Lord from the bottom of his heart for men and women who are like Philemon. Because this is a very self-centered day, and it's a self-centered age, and the love of many has waxed so very cold. And Philemon, and Paul writes this to Philemon, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all saints. This desire, this commitment, this care which Philemon had to refresh the saints and their ministers was a product of faith. Did you see that? Hearing of thy love and faith. It was a product of faith and it sprang from love. Love toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Faith worketh by love. And true faith produces love toward the Lord and all the saints. Now I said true love. True love springs from true faith. Faith expresses itself in works, such as refreshing the saints. And Paul says, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love. And so this Philemon strengthened the Apostle Paul. You owe him a debt of gratitude, don't you? Think of the Apostle Paul. Look at the New Testament. Look how this man was used of God. Look how he stood. He fought with men that were like wild beasts in Ephesus. Read the record. How the devil assaulted him. How he had such a fight of afflictions. And how he continued on to the end and fought a good fight and ran a good race. And the whole ransom church of God from then on could thank the Lord for the Apostle Paul. What about Philemon, who refreshed the bowels of Apostle Paul? Oh, God, give us more Philemons. God, give us more Philemons, and less of the other sort. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul speaks of the communication of thy, Philemon's, faith. And he prays that the communication of Philemon's faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Communication means through the interaction or social and spiritual intercourse that Philemon had with the people of God, his fellow believers, and even the ministers of God. Now, the labor and service which Philemon does then out of love for Christ and all the saints springs from faith. It's fed by love, and it's Paul's prayer that Philemon's example and works done by faith and in love will abundantly affect and be effectual for the glory of God and for the good of the saints. Now, this is his prayer for Philemon. This is his prayer for the people of God. We've seen what manner of man this Philemon was. This man who was so highly commended for refreshing the bowels of the saints. So in seeing this, now can we more judge ourselves with regard to this matter of refreshing the saints? Does it enter your mind even that you ought to be one who's a refresher of the saints? Does it enter your mind even? Is there a concern about refreshing your minister and strengthening him? Well, look at Philemon. It more than entered his mind. He was commended for refreshing the bowels of the saints. He certainly refreshed Paul, as you can see throughout this, this particular epistle. Paul says, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love. I mean, Paul was just filled with joy and had such great comfort in this man's service to the saints, in the fact that he refreshed the saints. And this, in turn, was just so wonderful for Paul. That just was a wave of inner refreshment for him. Now, this man was always willing and ready to obey as well, which is all part of this. You see that as you read through this. He says in 20 and 21, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. So this man, Paul says, he's confident that he will obey. He will obey the word which Paul has given him by the Holy Spirit. And not only obey, but do it joyfully, cheerfully, and more than he's asked to do. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. What is this to refresh the saints? Let's look at that first. It won't take me long. I'll just make a few comments. It's not a nurturing of a self-centered, self-indulgent circle of immature Christians. That it is not. And this day and age, we have to mention that. It's not a nurturing. It's not a pandering to Christians who want to talk about themselves, whose conversation begins and ends with them. No matter what the subject is, it comes back to them, who have all these perceived needs and hurts, so-called. It's not a nurturing of those sort of people. It's not a building up of a little cabal of friends who all build each other up, they think, in the Lord. That's really just self-indulgence is all it is. And as I said, it's not at all restricted to spiritual refreshment, but it always refreshes the spiritual man, and it always strengthens Christ's church, and this for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. Now, if you have been reading your Bible, and I trust that you have, if you've been studying your Bible, and I trust that you do, if you have a desire to know Christ and please him, know him more and more, and I pray that you do, then you have a pretty good understanding of what's meant by refreshing the saints. Because you see throughout the scriptures constant examples. In the New Testament, you see one church supplying the needs of the other church. You see the ministers of God having their needs supplied and encouraged. You see how hospitality for those people, I mean those people that are serving the Lord and have needs, you see how it's willingly, happily supplied. You see the household of Stephanas, who Paul says have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's ministering to the saints. And again, this isn't the sort of thing we see in so many churches today with, you know, some woman's got issues or some man has issues and he wants some attention and he wants a shoulder to cry on and he wants to complain and whine and carp and make the issue himself. It's not that at all. It's not a bunch of people getting together and trading all their woes back and forth and that sort of thing at all. The ministry to the saints. This is to strengthen the body of Christ. This is to encourage them forward in exceedingly hard times. This is to refresh them so that they might stand and having done everything to stand. You see, Phoebe, Paul says she was a succorer of many and of myself also. You see that example of a widow, the requirement for a widow to be taken under the care of the church, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, not just brought up children, if she was married, because this is a widow. If someone isn't married, then we would, of course, look at that and say, well, then she didn't bring up children, but what about the rest of this? If she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. This is the kind of woman that refreshes the saints, refreshes the ministers of God. We see Paul speaking of Christians distributing to the necessity of saints and that we should be given to hospitality. So there are so many things that go into this refreshing the saints and the ministers of God. And I say, it always is those things that refresh the spiritual man. But there are so many instructions, there are so many examples, including our behavior and conversation on the Lord's Day, which all go to this refreshing the saints. We need to be together on the Lord's Day. We refresh one another. For instance, Ephesians 5, verse 19, or we should refresh one another. We can go the other way and not refresh one another. We can discourage one another. We can discourage our minister. We can be carnal, foolish, unresponsive, cold, uninterested, inconsistent. Speaking to yourselves, it says in Ephesians 5:19, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You have to come together to do that. How can you be refreshing the saints if you're not together to do this? Colossians 3, verse 16. I'm just talking about the worship now. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's a refreshing thing to the spiritual man or woman, to be in the company of saints on the Lord's Day or any other day, but certainly on the Lord's Day, to be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with people who sing and make melody in their heart to the Lord and sing with grace in their heart to the Lord. There are many examples in the New Testament, for instance, that we can look at and say, here is a refresher of the saints. Here is an example for me. And we could look back through history. And I will tell you someone who came to my mind. An 18th century countess who was like Phoebe, and she was a succorer of many. Lady Huntingdon. You maybe have never heard of her. I wish you would find out about her. I'll tell you Whitfield, Grimshaw, Roland, and others, the great preachers of their day, used greatly by God. Oh, they thanked the Lord for Lady Huntingdon, who used her wealth, her position, her home, everything, wrote letters to encourage those ministers even, stood up for them, almost wore herself out in refreshing them so that the gospel would go forward and the church would be strengthened and souls would be brought into the kingdom. She was a refresher of the saints and certainly of the ministers of the church. Now, rather than define this refreshing the saints in a particular sense, I'll just give you, and I have given you, I suppose, maybe I shouldn't give you the same thing again, but I'll just give you a general definition. I've already told you how this isn't restricted to spiritual refreshment, but it always refreshes the spiritual man. It always tends to the glory of God. It always strengthens the church. It always promotes the salvation of souls. But let me just say this. To refresh the saints is to diligently do and say and provide those things which encourage, strengthen, rejoice, and comfort the saints and their ministers. That would be my general definition of refreshing the saints. It's to diligently do and say and provide those things which encourage, strengthen, rejoice, and comfort the saints and their ministers. Now, among the people of God, we would have to say, if this doesn't begin with faithful, cheerful, godly, edifying, and worship and fellowship together on the Lord's Day, then it's not going to begin. I mean, you have to have a solid foundation before you can build the house. And this includes being diligent to attend to all our immediate duties to the Lord and our brethren. Now, I maybe shouldn't say it includes. I'm saying without that, you are not going to be one like Philemon. But the actual refreshing of the saints is well beyond that. And it includes a desire and a willingness to build up and rejoice and strengthen the Lord's ministers and saints whenever possible. There are many who don't concern themselves with this matter. In fact, there are many who have the opposite effect on the saints and on those ministers who strive to be faithful. Now, why should we be concerned over refreshing the ministers of God and all the saints? First of all, because it should be a part of our faith. It should just be a part of our faith. Faith produces a desire to refresh the saints so as to advance the cause of Christ and glorify God. And faith gives the assurance that such service is not only needful, but will be fruitful. Faith produces love toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. So love for the Lord Jesus would result, if we have a love for the Lord Jesus, would result in us being like Philemon. The more we love him, the more we'd be like Philemon. Christ Jesus loves the church and gave his life for her. And should it be necessary then for me to even enlarge on why it's an act of love toward Christ to refresh the saints and those who feed his flock and rule over them? And certainly it shouldn't be necessary for me to point out how selfish and shameful it is to discourage the saints and the Lord's ministers. We discourage the saints and the Lord's ministers. And then we weaken the Church of Jesus Christ and go through the New Testament sometime and see how many times we're told to do the things that edify the saints in the church. How many times we're told to build up the church, to strengthen it, not weaken it. And I thought of Proverbs verse 1 in chapter 14. We don't want to be like that foolish woman who plucketh down her own house with her hands. There are those in the Church of Jesus Christ who one would almost think are laboring to pluck down the Church of Jesus Christ with their own hands rather than build it up. And if we're not willing to seek to refresh the saints, we're weakening the church, the very church which Christ purchased and through which and by which we receive so many spiritual blessings in Christ. And we ought to also, out of love for one another, seek to be those who refresh the hearts of the saints. I say, faith, love for Christ, love for one another. Now, lastly, what would Paul say of us? This is the last point I want to deal with, and very briefly. What would Paul say of us, and in fact, can your minister say of you with this regard, in this regard? Could Paul say this of you? Can your minister say this of you? We have great joy and consolation in thy love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. Paul and the other apostles certainly were anything but refreshed by some of those to whom they ministered. In fact, it's clear they were vexed. They were worn down by some who were foolish and childish and selfish and uncommitted and inconsistent and unresponsive and worse. It's the same way today. But the Apostle Paul could write to Philemon that he, Paul, and his fellow ministers in the gospel had great joy and consolation in the love Philemon had, which in turn caused him to refresh the bowels of the saints. When you think of the benefit of this, that Paul, in the midst of everything he was going through, and all the vexations, and being seen as the scum of the earth, and living with the threat of his life every day, and dealing with all the various devices and designs of the devil, and all those who served him, and all the attacks upon his own character, and all the false charges. And here is this man about whom he can say, this man has given him great joy and consolation. Because this man has a like concern, love, and care for the Lord and his people. And to refresh his ministers and strengthen his ministers and to refresh the saints, he has this like care. So in the midst of all the strife and all the struggle, here is this man, this Philemon, who brought such great joy and consolation to Paul and the other ministers. And today there are those like that. But I will tell you they're far and few between, really, in many cases. And they are at least matched in numbers by those who are the other way, that do anything but refresh their fellow saints and their ministers. So what would he say of you today? What would he say of you today when it comes to this verse? We have great joy and consolation, thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. What would he say of you today? Examine yourselves. Do you think your words and deeds and demeanor, do you think your concern, conversation, and commitment refresh your minister or wear him down? You refresh the saints, or at best you contribute nothing, and at worst discourage both the people and the minister. You examine yourself today, and you think of the blessings God has given you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. We ought to be among those who desire to refresh not only the ministers of God, but our fellow saints. We have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. Can this be said of you? If not, the answer's in the epistle. I say the answer as to why it can't be said of you. If not, it's perhaps because you're lacking in both faith and love. Perhaps you're too much in love with yourself and you need to mature in the faith. One or the other or both. You might just be childish and you need to mature in the faith. You might be lacking in love, both for the Lord and His people. So may God bring to our hearts a great sense of conviction regarding this matter. And I say may God richly bless those among us who follow in the footsteps of Philemon and Phoebe and Stephanus, for that matter, Lady Huntingdon.